Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om. Chapter 4. Chapters entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe, verse number 21. Tasya ugram danda samvigya. Tasya ugra danda samvigya. Sarve loka sapalabkaha. Sarve loka sapalakaha. Anyatra labdhya sharanam. Anyatra labdhya sharana. Sharanam yayur archutam. Sharanam yayur achutam. Tasyogra danda samvigya. Sarvaloka sapalakaha. Anyatra labdhya sharana. Sharanam yayur achutam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Everyone, including the rulers of various planets, was extremely distressed because of the severe punishment inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu. Fearful and disturbed, unable to find any other shelter, they at last surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Please repeat, everyone, including the ruler, supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material misery. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is actually the best friend of everyone. In a condition of distress or misery, one wants to seek shelter of a well-wishing friend. The well-wishing friend of the perfect order is Lord Shri Krishna. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the various planets, being unable to find any other shelter, were obliged to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Friend. If, from the very beginning, we seek shelter of the Supreme Friend, there will be no cause of danger. It is said that if a dog is swimming in the water, and one wants to cross the ocean by catching hold of the dog's tail, certainly he is foolish. Similarly, if in a distress one seeks shelter of a demigod, he is foolish, for his efforts will be fruitless. In all circumstances, one should seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there will be no danger under any circumstances. So, there is a cause for fear, cause for shelter. The demigods are being completely and continuously put into difficult situations by Hiranyakashipu. It's an interesting little sequence of events here. It says, because of that situation, they finally took shelter. Unable to find any other shelter, they finally took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You might say, well, why didn't they do that in the beginning? Why didn't they immediately take shelter when there was danger of the Supreme Lord? Why, after searching out any other forms of shelter, they had concluded that there is nothing but the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We might say that sometimes one in a good position, or anyone in general, when in a dangerous situation where one's vested interests or even life is threatened, one may seek their own, what we say, powers, their own abilities, their own intelligence to try to rectify this situation. And ultimately, that is not a guaranteed success. In certain situations, one's intelligence may somehow extricate one from a dangerous situation. But ultimately, it's only by the will of the Supreme Lord that one can use their intelligence in such situations. But when we come right down to it, when you get to the essence of any situation, one who understands that there is no safe place in this world except the lotus feet of the Lord, or the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. There are many incidents throughout history, and this has played out. We find in the case of Draupadi, when she was being disrobed in the assembly of Kurus, she tried with all her might. Of course, she was a woman, and she was against these big, powerful warriors, Dushasana, Duryodhana, who were trying to embarrass her in front of everyone. And she immediately tried to save herself. And she was pulling on her sari, but they were easily pulling it off. And then realizing there was nothing she could do, she put up one hand and she held the sari with her other hand. She called out for Krishna. It's explained in one pastime that Krishna was in Dwarka at the time and he was playing dice with Rukmini, his wife. And Rukmini noted the situation. She was able to perceive also. She said to Krishna, "Your devotee's in trouble. Aren't you going to save her?" He said, "Well, actually, she's still holding on with one hand. So we have a time for another game of dice." She's not fully surrendered yet. So, and then of course, realizing that that wasn't going to work, she threw up both hands and with full submission. Sometimes we call out to Krishna in a half-hearted and somewhat ritualistic and mechanical way. That won't work. That won't work. Krishna might send somebody else. When you have to call out from your heart, call with your heart to Krishna in every situation. But a devotee who practices the principles of Krishna consciousness and understands that ultimately there is no shelter in any situation, when a dangerous situation does come, it becomes easy and natural to cry out for Krishna. It's not something that doesn't fit into my normal pattern. It is actually my life's pattern because I'm always dependent on Krishna. And it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are six symptoms of surrender, which are the characteristics of one who actually is surrendered in devotional service. The first one is to accept things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. The second is to reject things that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. The third is to see Krishna as one's protector in all situations. Fourth is to see Krishna as one's maintainer in all situations. He's our protector and maintainer. And the fifth is that he is the only shelter. And the last one is the quality of humility, which allows one to take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances. If we're not humble, it's hard to take shelter of Krishna because immediately we start to think in terms of, you know, how I can, you know, react to a situation. So this dependence on Krishna is actually the feature of what we say, one who has understood two things, the nature of this material world and the process of bhakti. Because this nature of this material world is at any time, at any second, the whole situation can be changed from apparently good to a disaster. Prabhupada was on a morning walk one day, and I think it was in Denver, Colorado, in America, and he was talking about this principle, that we are walking in this park, and it's a very nice park, but at any time there could be a fire, and we will be all surrounded by fire. This is the, and he was pointing out that this is how the material world is. One second, everything is nice, and the next second, it's all completely changed. The one who understands the nature of this material world will not take material energy for granted. This is the nature of this material. So one is never safe, but always safe at the lotus feet of the Lord. Because Krishna promises to give protection. There's a contemporary story which Radhanath Maharaj has told a few times. I remember he used to tell this in America a lot. Maharaj was born and brought up for many years in Chicago, one of the bigger cities of America. And Chicago is situated geographically on the northern, one of the northernmost parts of America, where it gets cold, and it's right on the lake, right off a huge, gigantic lake called Lake Michigan. It's around, that whole area is surrounded by five very huge, gigantic lakes. They're almost the size of small oceans. They're huge. But it gets very cold in the wintertime. And many years ago, he was describing, he was a little boy, it was in the middle of the winter, and they had a severe, tremendous snowstorm. And it snowed for a long time. And it became so cold. I know in India, you use the centigrade calculation for heat and cold. But in the West, they use the Fahrenheit. It was like something like minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit. Unbelievably cold. And it got so cold that they could not heat the houses where people were living in. And people were freezing in their own houses. There was they couldn't supply enough heat. This was, of course, we're speaking about practically 50 years ago now. Things have changed. And they tried everything to somehow or other, you know, make people comfortable. So it got so bad that they had to take people out of their houses and put them in huge gymnasiums for people to stay there and just weather the cold weather, just stay there until it... But it went on for weeks and weeks. It became colder with snowing, ice, everything was stopped. And the city tried everything. Everything to somehow counteract whatever way they could do. And then one day the governor of Illinois, the state of Illinois, which Chicago is part of that state, he got on the radio and he made a statement. He said, "We have tried everything to somehow or other counteract this cold, and we are helpless. And there's only one thing left. So I recommend you all, please pray to God. Please pray to God. He's the only one that can save us now." And that's the name and nature of the materialists. When nothing else works, they somehow or other think, well, maybe God can help me at this point. But a devotee knows. He never takes for granted the material energy. Because at any time, you know, one can... And just to forget Krishna is explained in the Shastras as the greatest anomaly, the greatest misfortune, and the greatest mistake. This is the verse from Vishnu Puran, how this forgetfulness of Krishna actually is the cause of all illusion and problems. So, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna is the ultimate principle of bhakti. And here, being put in a situation of, let me say, tremendous, severe punishment and fear, demigods took shelter. But I remember when I was growing up, you know, I grew up in a very pious Christian family. Father was very pious and Christian. But then what happened was, I got it, you know, when you get into your teenage years, you kind of forget all about your religion and it's time for having fun, right? So that was practically the current of events in Western countries. Everyone in their teenage years starts to try to enjoy life. So you're thinking religion, that's for the old folks, and you know, it's just time to have fun. So I got away from religion, and then pretty soon I got involved with all kinds of other things, and then I pretty much became an atheist based on philosophy. It was more like philosophy, but it was the philosophy of atheism. I was cultivating, reading books by very hardcore communists who propagate these principles of atheism. And for many years, I used to argue with my father. And he was a Christian, and he would argue about God, and I would argue about, you know, it's an illusion. We'd have these debates. And I don't know whoever won. I don't think any of us ever won the debate. I was just a rascal. Still am. But anyway, you know, after a while I joined the military. And then I was in Vietnam. And one day I was in a helicopter, and we were flying, and we were just doing some maneuvers in and out of one field. And we were picking up a big, huge load from the bottom of the helicopter, these gigantic helicopters to pick. And both engines went out, and we came crashing down, straight down. It was about 300 feet down, and with a big load attached to us, you know, fast. And while I was going down, I said, "Oh God." And when I said that, I surprised myself because I was an atheist. Where did it come from? I had no idea where it came from. But it came. And somehow Krishna saved me. Hardly anybody got hurt. Some people did get hurt, but it wasn't so severe. Krishna saved us. So somehow or other, after that, I became a theist. Sometimes it takes an experience like that, you know. Therefore, sometimes Krishna puts one in a distressful condition. Why? Just to detach us from our false forms of shelter, our money, our intelligence, or our good fortune, or our previous success based on our experiences in this world. Of course, we have the story of Nalakuvera Manigriva, so wealthy, but so proud of their wealth. Demigods, the sons of Kuvera, living very, let me say, comfortable lives in the heavenly planets, but misusing their wealth just to enjoy sense gratification. So, of course, we know the story, how they were sporting naked with some girls. And when Narada Muni came along, being so illusioned as being demigods, even though they saw Narada, the girls were, they took shelter. They acted properly. But these two demigods, because of their position, because of their pride based on wealth, they couldn't honor a saintly person. So Narada cursed them. He said, "Oh, you want to run around naked? Become a tree. And nobody will care then." But the point was that he destroyed any of their pride simply by this curse. And that was the mercy. And it was so, of course, we understand the story, how they got the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead after 100 celestial years living as trees. But Prabhupada makes a point in that particular story that out of all the forms of pride that one can have based on illusion, because all pride is a form of illusion, the word pride is translated as madda, M-A-D-A. Madda means madness. If anyone is proud of anything, whatever degree that pride is there, it's a form of madness. Because nothing belongs to us. Even whatever we acquire by our own endeavors is coming by the grace of the Lord, through the material energy or directly by Krishna himself. So in that case, Prabhupada says that all the forms of pride, wealth, is the most intoxicating. People can be beautiful, people can have great intelligence, people can have a good family background, people can have a good position, but out of all of them, a person who is wealthy becomes the most illusioned by that wealth and cannot really, feelingly take shelter of the Lord. They might do it, what we say, ritualistically, but feelingly, and that's real shelter. So Krishna, through his various agencies, puts a devotee in a distressful condition. Why? Just to increase our dependence on him. Krishna likes that. Krishna likes when we become fully dependent on him in all circumstances. And sometimes devotees think, well, I should be dependent on him on, when things get rough. But in ordinary, it doesn't work like that. We have to be dependent on Krishna every second. And that's what it means to surrender. That's what it means to be a devotee. To always be dependent on Krishna at every second. What does it mean to be dependent on Krishna? That means in and of ourself, without the mercy of Krishna, whatever we're trying to do, we cannot be successful in that. We see in our ISKCON movement, sometimes people, our devotees, act outside religious principles and perform activities and produce some type of results by those activities. But in the due course of time, because they're not sanctioned by the Lord or the Lord's devotee, they weren't depending on Krishna. They were depending on something else. And therefore, the results of those activities cannot stand the test of time. Chalpati is a perfect example of how, by always depending on Krishna in every situation, things start to develop. Because when Krishna sees one's dependent on Krishna, his mercy comes. And when his mercy comes, he gives more facility. Prabhupada said, Krishna will give you the whole world if you're fully surrendered. He's prepared to. He said that to the devotees when he was here. He said, if you were all fully surrendered, we could take over the world in 18 days. And he said that. Become fully surrendered. And what does that mean? That means to be dependent on Krishna in every circumstance. As we cultivate our bhakti, our dependence changes. At first, we're dependent as a little child on Krishna. Always dependent on him for every situation. And then as we develop more in our Krishna consciousness, we know that our dependence is really our relationship with Krishna. As we develop our relationship with Krishna, then that becomes our dependence. And then one who is fully in love with Krishna, there's no question of not depending on Krishna, because it's natural. Because the symptom of love has other qualities to it, and one of them is to never forget the beloved, or always see the beloved within everything we do. So therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it explains even the most dangerous situation, if one is fixed on, in consciousness on the Lord, then that dangerous situation is something else. One time, one devotee was preaching in South America, and sannyasi, and the government was giving so much trouble. It was giving a lot of trouble. And finally, the government decided to close down our temple. So they came in with guns and army, and they forced the devotees to get out of the temple, and they closed the temple, boarded it up. And that was it. They just completely closed the temple down. This was some places in the world It's like that. I'm sure you all know. And so the sannyasi who was preaching in that area reported to Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, they've closed this down." Prabhupada said, "Yes." The demons say, "Yes, now you're dead. After that, they can't do anything." Means in the material way, you know, situations may occur where there are reverses in the progress of how we spread Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, they can't stop the movement. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya has given that decree that this movement will be successful if we depend on Krishna in all circumstances. And Krishna empowers those who depend on Him fully, more and more. So that is the essential principles of practicing Krishna consciousness. Whatever else we have, whether our intelligence or minds or our wealth, our good, whatever we have, these are given to us by Krishna also to serve. Nothing is ours. As soon as we claim anything to be ours, we're actually claiming another person's property. The intelligence to do things is coming from Krishna. Krishna says, "I am the intelligence of the intelligence. I am the ability within all living beings." Nothing is, Krishna is the, and it comes by, you might say, "Well, I earned it. I worked hard for it. I worked hard to build my family. I worked hard to make money. Worked hard to get a good education." But where's that desire to work hard from coming from? If the desire isn't there, then you might say, "Well, you know, it's my desire." But circumstances can change your desire. So somehow the circumstances were that that desire developed. So Krishna created the circumstances in order for your desire to develop, for you to somehow succeed in a particular way. So one who understands that all, in every situation, ultimately, I'm completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the mercy of the Lord coming through His devotees. The demigods, they tried everything. It doesn't say where else they tried for shelter, but it says when they couldn't find any other shelter, then they took shelter of the Lord. But one has to have intelligence how to take shelter of the Lord. There's one story. It's a little village story, but it's a nice story. It illustrates how one doesn't know how to take shelter of Krishna. There's a man, he's living in a village and it starts to rain. And so it continues to rain and finally it's starting to flood. So he goes up to a higher place in his house. And finally the rain is coming up and coming up and other people in the village, they're all evacuating. So finally, you know, he's staying in the house. And his principle is, "I will only be saved by God. I will never be saved by anyone else but God." So he's in his house and the rain is rising and everyone else has left the village. So a boat comes to his place and he's high in his, up in his house. So they say, "Get in the boat. We're going to save you." He says, "Nope. I'm only going to be saved by God." So they left. What could they do? So then it's raining more and it goes higher. So finally he gets on his roof. He's sitting on his roof. And they send a helicopter. And they say, "Get in the helicopter and you can be saved." He said, no, "I'm only going to be saved by God." And so they go away and then the water rises and he drowns and he dies. So somehow or other, after some time he meets God. And he says, "You know, God, you know, I always depended on you. When I was in that difficult situation, you know, why didn't you save me?" God said, I tried. I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. You didn't take it." So the story has the point is that one has to understand how God's mercy is also coming. And that takes intelligence. God's mercy comes in different ways. It comes in different ways. Sometimes it comes in the form of difficulties. Sometimes it comes in the form of success. Sometimes it comes in the form of the way we least expect it. Krishna never works according to how our preconceived understandings of how he should work. Because then there's no question of surrender. If it's preconceived, then where is the question of surrender? So this point here is very much emphasized. It's practically the only point in this verse, Prabhupada says. And if one, Prabhupada said, if one wants to cross the ocean by catching the tail of a dog, then one is foolish. If one wants to take shelter of a demigod or any other form of living being or anything, then that is compared to the foolishness of trying to cross the ocean by catching the tail of the dog. So, as Krishna says, in all circumstances, please depend on me. Because that is really the only place. There's no other shelter. And whatever other shelters one may take shelter of, one will see that this cannot give them real shelter. Their money, their intelligence, their good health, their wealth, their success, anything, ultimately cannot save one from the cycle of birth and death, cannot save one from being overcome by the material energy. So Prabhupada gives the point that if one seeks shelter of Krishna in all circumstances, then there will be no danger under any. He uses the word any circumstance. One is in the best. So one has to practice the process of devotional service in such a way that practice helps us to remember Krishna. If we're engaged in devotional service and we're not becoming more attached to Krishna through our service and not remembering Krishna more, then we're not in the right mood of devotional service. If we're simply trying to perform devotional service for fruit of results, trying to gain something from what we do, then how can we fully take shelter of Krishna? There's no question of material gain in devotional service. Whatever we do, it comes by way of gain, is simply Krishna's mercy in order to spread the Sankirtan movement. But as far as our individual relationship with Krishna, the gain is two things. We become detached from Maya, and we become more attached to Krishna. That is the gain in Krishna consciousness. The more one becomes attached to Krishna, the more one becomes absorbed in Krishna, the more one is making progress in devotional service. And guaranteed, when you forget Krishna, Krishna will do things to change your situation so you can remember him. He frustrates our attempts just so we can take shelter. But he's teaching us that this is the principle. Always take shelter of me in all circumstances, in any circumstances. So we have to practice that principle. I'm sure each and every one of us have had circumstances in our life where we're forced to call out to Krishna in a helpless situation. But this material world, padam padam ya padam, that is danger at every step. It's the place of danger. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, no place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. In other words, anyone who has any intelligence will understand that this is not a nice place. It's not. I mean, there's some things that are nicer than other things, but ultimately, even in the nicest situation, we were just like, yesterday we went to the farm, right? We went to the farm. And then we were at the farm, and I was comparing the farm to Bombay. That's a comparison, you know. It's easy to do that. It's like comparing, you know, Krishna Loka to Patala Loka, you know. So we were making some comparison, and the devotees were, and we were seeing how ideal that type of lifestyle is. But then the conversation turned to snakes. That they're deadly, poisonous snakes here. So poisonous that if you get bit, you'll die within less than a minute. Anibal. Even in the best situation, there's always something. Right? You could climb a tree and break your leg and fall down. You know, what is the materialists? What is their consciousness? How to enjoy and how to stop suffering. So they keep changing their situations in order to, you know, cultivate this mood of more enjoyment and less suffering. And a lot of it has to emphasize on getting away from the suffering. So people sometimes will change their whole life because in one situation it's not good. They'll look for another situation. But your karma goes with you. Your consciousness and your karma goes with you. So although the suffering may stop in one form, it'll come in another form. That's the nature of the material world. You know. And there's a beautiful story. This was interesting. Ramaswamy takes this, he tells the story because he was there, and he takes this story to illustrate a very interesting point. The devotees were doing Harinam in Italy, in Venice. And it was a whole group of devotees doing Harinam through the streets of Venice. And Venice has all these little, like, canals and lakes, and, you know, it's a beautiful city. It's in the midst of all these canals, and it's like a tourist city. So devotees go through there regularly doing Harinam. So after a very long Harinam in the summertime, devotees were tired. So they came to the bank of the lake where the water was, and they all decided, let's go for a swim, which was natural after the Harinam. And then they went in for the swim. And then pretty soon you see devotees running out like crazy. There were jellyfish in there. And they were being bitten by these jellyfish. And all these devotees had all these jellyfish on. And jellyfish, when they bite you, wow, you really get stung. So here, you know, the devotees had a nice, wonderful Harinam. And the weather, you know, the people were... They're really, really, really responsive in a positive way to the Harinam. And then the devotees were thinking, now we'll get a little reward for our Harinam. We'll get a nice, cool, fresh swim. Jellyfish. Padam, padam, na padam, natesham. Every place there's danger. You can never tell. That's the nature of this material world. And one who thinks otherwise is a fool. To put it in very succinct term, is a fool. When you're young, you think, the whole world's in front of me, let me enjoy. But then as you get older and you become more understanding of reality, even people who are not devotees, they understand that life is really not what I thought it was. Something else. It's miserable. There's one bumper sticker in America. Life stinks and then you die. Put it on their car. Life stinks and then you die. It's a real pessimistic attitude. They try to enjoy, can't enjoy, and then after you're all you can't enjoy, you just die. Material life, you know. And that's the way it is. This is the reality. But devotees know that there's no sense of trying for any happiness in this material world. Because real happiness is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And what's the best way to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Krishna is there in the form of His name. And Prabhupada says, that even somehow, if you're serving Krishna with all your enthusiasm and energy, and difficulties come, and even death may come along, when Krishna sees you're absorbed in His service, He will enter into your consciousness. One girl, She was a book distributor. She said, Prabhupada, I'm out distributing books, and I'm, you know, and what happens if I die while distributing books? Prabhupada said, then Lord Chaitanya will force himself into your consciousness. And that's how merciful the Lord is. Not only is he's giving that mercy when he sees that we're somehow or other doing our best in our devotional service. But still, we should practice and very much cultivate within our service the consciousness of remembering Krishna while we're serving. Service is none different than Krishna, but remembrance of Krishna while serving, or absorbed in the service in such a way that we're offering this as an offering to the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of the devotees, that is full Krishna consciousness. So we have to practice. So don't be... Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says that to be in the best of health and to forget Krishna, and to be in the worst of health and to remember Krishna is better. It's better to be in miserable condition to remember Krishna, to be in the illusion of a nice condition and to forget Krishna is really... So, again, the essence of all religious principles, as mentioned in the Shastras, is to always take shelter of Krishna. Depend on Krishna. And Krishna likes that. Not only does he like that, he gives his mercy. But the quality of humility helps us to understand our position. And when we understand our position, then we can take shelter of Krishna. If we forget our position, then it's hard to take shelter of Krishna. What is that position? We're helpless. We are helpless at every stage of our life. You know, sometimes devotees they get in a difficult situation, and then they take shelter of Krishna, pray to Krishna, help me, and they get out of the difficult situation. And then things start going good, and then they forget Krishna again. And then Krishna puts them back in that situation again. That's his mercy. That's his mercy. That tendency of success or apparent success has a tendency to make us think, I am the doer. But the Gita says, Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasya ahankara. Vimudatma, foolish, it's false ego. Vimudatma, kartahamiti manyate. That the living entity under the influence of the material energy wrongly thinks themselves the doer. So this is Krishna consciousness. And demigods, actually Hiranyakashipu is the friend of the demigods. Because anyone who helps you take shelter of the Lord is your friend. Yes? If you have a friend and he makes you forget about Krishna, it's better to be with an enemy who reminds you of Krishna. Isn't it? Anyone who makes... So Hiranyakashipu, he's the best friend of the demigods. He's harassing them, so they take shelter. So Hiranyakashipu, in one sense, is pleasing Krishna. Yeah. He doesn't get bhakti because his intention is not to please Krishna. But he's getting the principle of that he's doing service on behalf of the Lord by helping the demigods take shelter of the Lord. So difficult situations are actually opportunities to increase our love for Krishna, our dependence on Krishna. But you can avoid difficult situations if you never forget Krishna. Then there's no need to put you in a difficult situation. So the more we practice that, the more we can, you know, go on with our devotional service. Always remember Krishna. That is the ultimate of all religious principles. Always take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances. Any questions? Comments? Sarva Poma Purple?
Jai Maharaj. liked your class very much, and you mentioned Harinam a few times in Venice, other places.
Harinam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I haven't been to the United States in about a year now.
You're lucky.
And, well, I heard a rumor, that maybe you can verify, that they're getting Harinam going again in the United States of America. There's
Stay in India, please.
A big revival. I understand that they're having big success now in America because somehow or another all the temples are getting Harinam going again.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but wherever we can become Krishna conscious, we want to be. Wherever is the best for our spiritual practice. You know, unless we're a pure devotee, then we can go anywhere and do any service on behalf of the Lord. And Harinam is, of course, Lord Chaitanya's movement. But we can do Harinam in India, too. We can do Harinam anywhere. So, if you want to go to America, you can go. It's up to you. You have your choice. But I'm not saying you shouldn't go. I'm not saying you should go. But you have to decide what's best for your Krishna consciousness. If we see if we're making tangible advancement, then we should stick in that place. How can we tell if we're making tangible advancement when our enthusiasm to chant increases, when our desire to associate with devotees becomes stronger and stronger? When we start looking at the material energy and we just realize how ridiculous it is, these are all indications we're making nice advancement. When we look at Krishna and we start feeling love by seeing the beautiful form of the deity, these are all indications of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we have to see if we're making advancement like that. But as Lord Chaitanya taught, that in any decision in regards to service, get advice from senior devotees to help us clearly see the different ramifications that come with making a significant change in our spiritual, in our service. Always get advice. When we act independently, then there's a danger that when things go wrong, we become doubtful. When you do things independently and something doesn't go right, you think, well, I made the right decision or not. But when you get the advice, get the blessings of the Vaishnavas, the blessings of the Lord, and then things go wrong, you know I'm on the right path. I've got the blessings. Things will go wrong anyway, even though I'm doing the right service or I'm in the right situation. So doubts can come easily when we start doing things without the blessings and mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas. It's a very important principle. Very important principle. I remember I had to make a decision in my life. I was running a preaching center in America, and I had taken sannyas a few years ago, but I was staying in one place preaching, and then there was a question whether I should continue or go out and travel and preach. And there was, you know, people were saying, well, if you leave the preaching center, who's going to manage it, who's going to do it? And others were saying, well, you know, you can go, you're a sannyasi, you should go out, travel and preach. So back and forth. I was speaking with many senior devotees. Please give me some understanding. Should I stay here and preach or should I go out and travel and preach? And so finally I went to one senior devotee, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I was sitting in his room. And I said, Maharaj, I have this dilemma. I can't figure it out. If I leave the preaching center and make clothes, people are asking me to stay. Other people are saying, no, you should, you know, fulfill your role as a sannyasi, travel back and forth. So he just went, go out and preach. waved his hand in the air, what a big smile on his face, and with the assurity that he was speaking from Super Soul. I just, well, okay. I realized what he said was exactly what Krishna wanted me to do. I heard Krishna. In other words, I heard Krishna's voice. Although others said the same thing, when he said it, I heard Krishna. I realized that this was the right thing. So when we're making big decisions in our life, we really should take shelter of devotees who are without material desires, who are well-wishers of everyone, and get their blessings and mercy like that. Then we know we're on the right path. Krishna works through his devotees. Any other questions? Another one. Okay.
It's not a question. I just want to thank you for encouraging me to stay in India.
Okay.
This is, I agree.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.